2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Love is in the air. Spring is everywhere.
A little bird, he told me so. He said, come on, get on the go. Open your eyes, the sky is full of butterflies. The blossoms on the trees stirred up the honeybees. Spring makes my fever rise.
Good morning. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you, taking your questions this morning. 801-575-8255 to give us a call with your questions, or you can text us your questions at 57500. Let's go back to our phone lines and talk with Terry in West Haven. Good morning, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well. What is your question this morning?
First question is, we've got scale on our plum tree, and I'm just wondering how to get rid of that. And then my second question is it too early to trim the raspberries and the blackberries with it being such a nice day today?
Now, get on those blackberries and raspberries. That's totally fine. That's the easy one. Now, on the scale,
okay.
What I would recommend doing is downloading some fact sheets from USU about scale. You probably have San Jose scale, but no matter which one it is going to be the same treatment. So you're going to start out in the spring in late winter with a dormant spray to try to smother what's there trying to overwinter. So you'll do that dormant spray, and then going on through the spring, you'll hit a point when you'll have a stage called the crawler stage. And what you would need to do is get some double-sided sticky tape and put around the branches where you see the scale and monitor with a magnifying glass. And when you start to see those crawlers, it's time to spray the tree with something like permethrin or 7. Or actually, let's nix that, not permethrin or 7. Those are insecticides, but with a dormant oil or horticultural soap. And hopefully that gets rid of them. The worst offending branches, I mean, if they're just plastered in scale and there's not a lot of leaves, those would be pruned out so you could reduce the population that way too.
Okay. So, and then to get that information off of the USU site, do I just go to usu.gov or usu.edu?
USU, actually just
EDU?
Google. Just Google USU and scale, S-C-A-L-E, USU extension and scale, instead of trying to navigate all the pages. Google does a great job at navigating our websites. And it actually would be permethrin or 7. So permethrin or 7 when you're in the crawler stage. But go ahead and download, if you Google USU and San Jose scale or USU and scale, those will come up and it'll give you all the information. Now, if these efforts fail, you may have to do a systemic. And if you did that and there isn't one registered, if you used a systemic, you would have to wait a calendar year before you harvested fruit.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
You're
all right, Terry. Thanks for your call this morning. Our next listener, Ton, is in the Cache Valley, and they had grasshoppers just really riddle their Wigalia wine and roses last spring, and they're wondering if there's anything they can do to restore them this spring.
Well, just let them grow. And the grasshoppers are really problematic if you live in rural areas where you're surrounded by fallow ground. Mm-hmm. And so to keep them out of there, if it is the situation, you know, if they're attracted to them, they may need to eventually take them out if it's going to be an annual thing. And they said that they'd use a systemic, which is a totally bad recommendation. And so I would more recommend using something topical like Carbaryl, which is sometimes called 7, or permethrin, that you would apply every week to 10 days during that grasshopper season. Now, if they have a situation to where in a neighborhood or something, they can try to control the grasshoppers in the spring with a product called Nolobait. It's a fungus that the grasshoppers ingest that either kills them or stops them from feeding, and that would reduce the population. They also, if they noticed that in their yard there were certain crops besides these bushes that the grasshoppers liked, they could plant them as trap crops in an area and spray them. You know, there's different methods. USU has a couple of pretty good fact sheets on the grasshoppers, but the prevention is going to be important. But in this case, I don't think a systemic would do much to control them.
Okay, so Terry is texting us from Payson. Terry has several conifers like Scott Pine, Austrian Pine, that have the leaders that are dying. And they're wondering if you know why they would be dying and what you would recommend they do.
Well, it's usually environmental stress, but it could be a number of other things. And some pictures here would be important. But you'll oftentimes see tip dieback or needle yellowing if they were not watered well through the fall. And that would be my first suspicion, especially if it's all over the tree. Mm-hmm. If it were just a few of them, then I would more suspect something insect related. But in this case, if it's all of them, it's usually drought problems that will cause that to happen.
All right. And Tara, if you want to send us a picture on our direct messaging on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, maybe we could help you out even more on that as well. Next person would like to know if you have any recommendations for pruning smoke bushes. Is it okay to prune them now, and how much would they remove?
Yeah, they can just cut that thing to the ground. And actually, I'm not trying to be mean here. It's just what you do with them. It keeps them bushy and prettier. And so I would just go in, depending on its age, cut it down to 18 inches to 2 feet high on every branch.
Okay, so you cut those all the way back. All right.
You almost treat them like a perennial. And what will happen if you don't prune them in a year, they get really long and gangly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for the purple smoke bush particularly. And so a lot of professional gardeners will just go ahead and get the loppers and cut them back to 18 inches to 2 feet and let them regrow. They regrow very quickly.
Okay, next person would like to know if it's too early to prune butterfly bushes.
No, do the same thing. You just get your hedge trimmers out or your loppers or whatever and cut them within 18 inches or 2 feet of the ground, depending on the size. What that'll do is keep their size in check and cause them to bloom a lot more.
Okay, next person would like to know when they should put Florel on their flowering crabapple tree. And is it supposed to be fruit-free? Because
Florel, if used correctly, will reduce the fruit load significantly, but not get rid of it. You generally spray when the tree's in blossom. They will want to go to a garden center and look at the instructions. They may change from year to year, but you generally spray that on the flowers so that it knocks the flowers off of the tree.
All right. Dean in Farmington wants to know if it's too late to prune his pear tree.
Nah, get it done. The sooner the better.
Okay, and let's go to our phone lines. And Wes is in Leverkin. Good morning, Wes. What is your question?
I have a couple of them. I have a home down in Leverkin, and the winds are pretty horrific down there. So I planted a chautauqua tree down there and left the stake in, and the tree grew into the stake. And when I pulled that out after 3 years, it had about maybe 10 inches is it growing, torn off the bark and right down in the wood? Should I do it? What can I do to that, or should I do anything?
Well, if it's just on one side, the wood will eventually grow around it. I would rather, if it's just on there, I would rather almost let the wood grow around it than tear it out if it's going to do a lot of damage to the trunk.
Well, I tore it out. So, and then I have a home in Salt Lake, and I have a horse chestnut tree. I have two of them. And they're at least 100 years old, and the leaves have not all fallen off. Usually they're all gone by now. By January they fall. They fall late. But I imagine there might be 20% of the leaves still on in these trees. Are they dying or what's going on?
Probably not. We've been getting a lot of calls about this, and I would suspect it may have been some drought stress or they just didn't go dormant soon enough before it got cold. All you can really do is be patient and see what happens. And if those particular branches don't have bud swell, then what you're going to need to do is cut into the bark a little bit on a really shallow angle and see if the tissue is still green underneath.
Okay, and also, I had a limb that they took out years ago, and it sealed, and now it's opened up. Should I put some paint or something in that?
No, not at all. It'll just make your problems worse. And if those trees are 100 years old and you're starting to get, those would usually open up because you have an internal rot. I would suggest having an arborist look at the trees who's experienced in diagnostics. And so I'm not talking somebody with a chainsaw and a truck. I'm talking an actual arborist that has diagnostic ability that can go ahead and maybe even use a specialized drilling tool to pull out some cores to make sure that the trees are still structurally sound. You can have some internal rot, and as long as the outer wood is strong, it's almost like a straw, and the tree will stand fine, but it would be worth having them investigated.
You're
welcome.
Enjoy your program.
Thank you,
Wes, for calling this morning. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you this morning. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Next listener, Ton, says, can they split the root of blackberries and transplant them to another location?
If it's early enough and they're dormant, yes. If they've got a lot of canes, they can dig up a chunk. And as long as they get most of the soil in the roots, you can move them.
All right, Terry in Payson says, what can they add to the soil when they transplant their conifer trees to improve their chance of survival? Fertilizer, moisture lock, what do you suggest?
Love.
Okay. is this kind of like you need to talk to your trees or your plants?
You know, there's nothing just like good, honest plant care here. There's not going to be anything that's just going to make those trees magically survive. You know, and going back to my orchard experience, when those orchardists put in thousands of trees, they're not putting in a lot of additions. You know, there may have been, if they're lucky, a little bit of organic matter worked into the soil, but they should put the tree in the ground and take care of it and it grows. And so as long as you've got good soil and water correctly, those conifers, you'll probably, as it gets hot, need to water two or three times a week the first year, and then maybe a couple of times a week the second year to help get them established. But the trick here is to keep the soil moist, but not drown them.
Did we have an incredible production of walnuts this past season? Because we've had several texters today. And at first I thought it was the same person, but really several texts about walnut trees and the fact that they've produced so much walnuts. And is there anything you can do? And there's nothing you can do.
No, you plant a walnut tree, you you know, plan on walnuts. And it's, you know, if you drink a lot of beer, you plan on getting drunk. You know, it's just kind of the same thing, but not a good analogy, but we'll move on.
I'm just shaking my head. What in the world? Okay.
Well, we'll move on.
Move on, please.
Yes. So walnuts, we had a long growing season last year. Walnuts generally require 140 to 150 days with temperatures above 28 degrees. And a lot of areas of the Wasatch Front that happened. So we've got a bumper crop. They also will sometimes develop biennial bearing to where you'll have a heavy year and a light year and a heavy year. Mm-hmm. And so we have had a few things coincide to get a heavy crop. This will happen every 3 to 5 years.
Okay, let's go to a call from Mark and Draper. Good morning, Mark. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. This call has nothing to do with walnuts or beer. But
okay, good.
It does have to do, Bishop's weed. I have about 600 square feet out in the front yard ground cover of what I've been told is Bishop's weed, and it's probably been there 20 years since the home was built, and I'm trying to eradicate it.
Are you sure you're doing this? May involve beer. I'm trying to eradicate it.
That's what I've been told.
No, well, the Bishop's weed, it can be as hard to get rid of as bindweed. Mm-hmm. And it is one ground cover that I actually never recommend because it is so aggressive and so hard to get rid of. And so in the lawn area, you can actually use what's called a four-way weed killer. So something like Speed Zone or T-Zone or Weed Free Zone. And you would spray when it's cool in the spring and then let it reestablish a little bit, and in the fall, spray it again. Now, where this Bishop's weed is growing, do you have other desirable plants?
No. It's just like a field of it on its own. It was planted as ground cover, just in a separate area. So I just want to get rid of it and start from scratch again.
So let's do this then. If there are no desirable plants there, let's go ahead and I would pick up from a product called T-Zone. You may have to get it from Great Basin Turf. IFA, I think, carries it too. But you have a Great Basin Turf outlet in the South Salt Lake Valley. And then you're going to get some glyphosate, some Roundup, just a little, you know, you don't need a ton of it. Mix both of them into water at the recommended rates so that you're not overdoing it. You know, you don't use the glug-glug method where if it calls for an ounce, 5 ounces are better. You're using recommended rates. And then I would also get a surfactant or a spreader sticker, whatever you can find. It shouldn't be more than $5 or $6 for a bottle. Mix all those together, and then when you spray that, you get the Bishop's weed up and going, and when it's, you know, up 6 or 8 inches, let it have it. And you need temperatures below 85 degrees when you do this, because the active ingredients in that T-zone will vaporize in hot weather and run into desirable plants and possibly damage them. Do that, and that will really set it back. Let it regrow a little bit if it does, and then hit it again in the fall.
Okay, and then if I rototill it out, it should have gotten all the way down into the roots and give it a season or so before
we're
maybe
not
enriching the soil.
It. Rototilling it will spread it.
Okay.
So the other
just
thing,
dig
you
it
could,
out then.
Yeah, well, don't no. We're not digging it because you're never going to get all the roots out, and it'll just come back. So after it's dead. So the other thing you could do is let it grow up in through April, and in May, when we start getting into the 70s and 80s, string trim it down and then cover the entire area with clear plastic and peg that plastic down and cook the area for the entire season. That would also kill it.
And then once it's dead, leave it and plant around it, or
no? Then
over it,
you can go ahead and work the soil. But I thought you were wanting. I apologize. I misunderstood. I thought you were wanting to dig it out a week after spraying it, and that was like, oh no, that will just spread it. And so I was having a panic attack.
Give it the full season of death, and then come back to it the next year and dig it out.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, you can. If you can find any Halloween stores open out of season, you could put some skulls and crossbones in there and, you know, just to make sure it knows you want it dead.
Be gone.
Yes.
Okay. And then one other thing I do have, I have a little small type of pine shrubs in the front yard, which are turning their, I don't know if it's diseased, but the needles are going brown throughout them over the last couple of years it's been propagating.
Well, does it happen more in the fall into winter or just all of the time?
All the time now.
If it's happening all the time, it could be a number of different things. They would need to be checked for pine needle scale. And the water would also need to be checked to make sure that they're not being overwatered. Those
right.
would be the two things I would look at up front. Or is pine okay. needle scale. And you can Google that, and you might have to get a magnifying glass. But once you know what to look for, it's pretty easy to identify. Are they in a wet situation at all?
No.
Okay. And are they mucopines or a spruce, or they have longer needles on them?
It is a longer needle. It's a
okay.
3-inch needle.
It's probably a cultivar of mucopine. And they are susceptible to pine needle scale, and they're quite drought hardy once established. And so if you don't find pine needle scale in there, why don't you upload some pictures to the Facebook messenger? Go to the Facebook page for KSL Greenhouse Show and just load some pictures in there, and I can take a closer look at the pictures.
Okay, great.
All right, Mark, thanks for your call this morning. Let's go to Lynn in Riverton this morning. And good morning, Lynn. How can we help you?
Good morning. I have some bumps in my lawn. So when I mow the lawn, the lawnmower shakes a whole bunch, bumps up and down. I don't know if they're nightcrawler bumps or what. Do I power rake the lawn, or I heard power raking can be bad if you go too deep?
Well, if you do power rake, you set the height of the rake just above the crowns so that you're not tearing into the soil, and that'll knock the tops off of those mounds.
And so if I'm going to rent a machine and do it's only in a small section, should I just go ahead and do the whole lawn anyhow?
No.
Or just that section?
If the other lawn is healthy, don't, because it is damaging to your lawn. And I would only do those sections. Now, if it is a small section, and this is going to be work, you could lift the lawn up and re-level it. Is this particular section more compacted? Does it get a lot more traffic than others?
No, we're pretty traffic-free
okay.
on that section.
Yeah, depending on how small, yeah. you can dig it and re-level it and just relay the grass as sod. You can try the okay. power rake. There's a few different options.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you so
Thanks.
Much for your call
Bye.
This morning. Next person wants to know, Tom, they had some poinsettias in their house that had some white flies on them. Now they're wanting to, in their house under a grow light, grow some of their annual seedlings, and they're wondering if it's safe to do so.
Nope. They need to get rid of those poinsettias or get rid of the white
yeah,
flies.
Yeah, they got rid of the poinsettias, but okay. now they're wondering if there's the
if
white flies could be left
behind.
If it's
been plant-free for a number of weeks, they're good.
Okay, so if they did actually get rid of those in January, they would be safe now.
They should be, yes.
All right, we're going to break for the top of the hour news, talking lawn care following the news at 10 o'clock.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.